Yo, what up, though? This is Esham, and you rocking with the Connected Experience.
Yo, what up, though, man? This is Big Greg, and you rocking with the Connected Experience.
This is Premium P, and you're rocking with the Connected Experience.
Chill. Oh, yeah, this is Jake Prince coming at you live and in living color, and you rocking with the Connect Experience.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's comedian TK Kirkland, a.k.a. T to the motherfucking K. And when I'm in Detroit, you already know what it is. I listen to the Connected Experience. You should, too.
Connected.
I'm Santuan.
I'm Antoine.
And we the Connected Experience.
Bro, what's the Connected Experience?
It's a lifestyle.
The lifestyle.
Our lifestyle.
How that lifestyle been treating you?
Man, I can't complain. So this lifestyle is treating us by the moniker of I want for my brother what I want for myself. Our guest that we go get into, my partner Ryan, who the first time I ever spoke to Ryan, he said he wanted to do a podcast. I met him at work. Yeah. We were just talking, and I was like, I podcast. And then, like, I put him up on Jay Prince. He wasn't even hip to who Jay Prince was or none of that. Like, right? So, me and Ryan grew a great friendship over our time of working at the plant or whatever. And then we was talking on Saturday because I usually do my phone calls on Saturday with niggas because it'd be free time. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And he was like, man, I got a guy y'all need to talk to, bro. He was like, he was naming a bunch of people and I don't know him, but I know that if y'all talk. So then I said, well, you know, dog, put me in contact with him. And he put us in contact with him. But before we get to the guest, bro, what's in your title?
Man, what's in my title? I've been going off that new McNichols and old boy, loyalty over royalty.
Yeah, they said that. Come on.
Oh, okay, cool. I just love that shit talking money.
Yeah. Old boy from Exeter.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's a small world. We definitely gonna know that.
Yeah,
but I've been listening to that. And then you know what else I was listening to?
What?
I was listening to this on another platform, though, because it ain't on none of the streaming. I was listening to Dice, man, neighborhood shit talk.
I was trying to find that. Send that to me, however you was listening to it. I've been trying to find that. Yeah, he talking that shit. Okay,
crazy,
so
dog.
What's in my title is Hit Boy and Blue Blux, biggest out the West. You
okay,
know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
I check that out.
Yeah, so this is how I look at this project. When they dropped their last project, I said to my wife, like, this is a dope project, but the Blue Blux be hitting better than that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then they went and they got with Hit-Boy. You know, Hit-Boy is slowly but surely becoming my favorite producer because I'm listening to a lot of Big Hit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because they got a song all that him, Big Hit do. But anyway, Blue Blux Clan, Blue Blux Clan, Hit-Boy, biggest out the West, man. They got the whole joint banger. Wiz Khalifa on there.
I like the project.
Two Chainz on there.
Only thing is I got to listen. I was listening to it with earphones on. I got to listen to it in a ride.
But, and let it bang.
And just let it bang, man. You know,
still witty wordplay.
Next time I smoke later on tonight in the whip, I'm gonna just play that.
I think Cash Kid might be on there again too. They make great music
with
together,
Cash,
bro.
Yeah. You damn near want a project with them.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. Like, I wouldn't be mad at a Hit-Boy Cash Kid Blue Blux album. I wouldn't be mad. Yeah, but biggest out
there. Now you gotta kind of, it's like gambling. Like, who Hit-Boy gonna do a full project with next? It's just like, who you want to hear him with next?
Yeah,
because he's staying in that. And to be real honest with you, man, I like when producers and artists, just one producer, work on a project. I feel like it just bring the best out the artist, man, because if I'm working on your project as a producer, something might click in my head at 2:00 in the morning. Now, since we've been locked in, I could call you
and make that happen.
If I'm not working on a project and something just clicking my head, I don't know who this might be for. But if we've been, nigga, we 7 songs in, nigga, I got it. And you gonna get your ass up because you like, I trust your production timing.
All right.
You know what I mean?
But we got a guest.
Yeah, we got a guest, man.
So, man, we got V Styles on the show, right? So when the homie had told me, like, I needed to holler at him, like, I had started researching him or whatever, and I'm like, he been on the scene, and we was on the scene as rappers. We've bumped into each other a lot, you know what I'm saying?
Just being in the building.
Just being in a lot of buildings. And so, what's going on, V Styles, bro? Welcome to the show, bro.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. I appreciate both of y'all. It's real shit.
Thanks.
We appreciate
you coming,
man. Yeah. So introduce yourself, man. Kind of tell us where you from. This is a worldwide show, so when you say streets or something like that, you know, say right. East Side, West Side, West Side, Mile, East Side, you know.
All right. I grew up in Detroit, West Side, Finkel, Puritan, Main Street, Myers.
Yeah.
All around, man. My entire family's from Inkster.
Mm. Small world. We from the town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The VCs. My last name is VC.
Yeah.
So y'all know how Inkster is. It's a very small community.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Generally, the families know each other.
Know each other.
For sure.
West Side all my life. Lived on the east side a good portion of my life. You know, all around, you know, native Detroiter.
Yeah. Right. So what area did you go to high school and everything in?
West side. I graduated from DePaul's. Okay. DePaul's.
Okay. You played sports?
I wrestled.
Okay. Yeah. First wrestler we had on. You know what I'm saying?
Did you go there when they won the championship?
I was.
Is that the school I went to?
No.
Oh, he went to Aquinas. My bad.
Southgate? Aquinas?
Yeah, Southgate, Aquinas.
Those were our rivals.
Yeah. My cousin, Lawrence Timmons, was on.
We ain't really see them until, like, tournaments and stuff like that, but they, Catholic schools, still rival.
Yeah. What made you get into wrestling, though?
I'm a martial artist.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I grew up taking Taekwondo.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to go to DePaul's being the man on the basketball team, man, but when I got there,
it was stacked.
Yeah. So it's like you had to find your niche.
Yeah.
So wrestling was my niche because I had a background in that. So.
You won state championships and stuff as a wrestler?
I got the states.
Yeah. You remember the move you lost in too?
I lost by points in the first round of the state tournament.
Okay.
You know, what no pins.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You
know, just points.
But I lost on points. Wrestling a big part of me, man. Martial arts is a big part of who I am. Like hip hop and martial arts, they for me, if one ain't on, the other one.
Yeah.
You know.
So do you still participate in martial arts?
I still train. Yeah. I was lucky enough to be on for 12 years King Mo Lawal's fight team, man. King Mo was a fighter in Bellator. He's a world champion over in Strikeforce, and he's the first rising heavyweight Grand Prix champion.
Okay.
I got a chance to travel the world with that dude for about 12 years.
Fighting?
That's dope.
Training.
So
I was a part of his team. So, like, my job was to, like, say if we fight in Rampage, we fought Rampage twice.
Yeah.
Technically, you ask me, we beat Rampage twice, but, you know. It was a one-on-one deal, but we won the last matchup, man. So my job was pretty much watch his upcoming opponents. It was like 3-4 of us to do it. When you're a fighter, man, everybody got certain things that they constantly do before they try a move or before they throw a punch. So it was basically finding the pros and the cons of each fighter that, you know, my boy Mo was about to fight.
So you was like scouting?
Scouting. Sparring?
Was you sparring?
Scouting, sparring. You name it, man. Yeah. It's like a lifestyle, man. That's what I used to look like, man.
Let me ask you this, right? For you being a martial artist for so long, right? Like, when you go places and niggas be talking crazy, how hard is it for you, like, to not, like, karate kick a nigga neck off?
He don't do karate.
I do.
What you was doing?
Tung Soo Do.
Yeah, he used to do Tung Soo Do.
So, as you get older, man.
No, I'm saying, like, when you was young with it, like, when you feel me? Because
When you train, man, you train not to fight.
Yeah.
And that's what it's really all about, man. I never put myself in situations where I pretty much have to go off on a person, man, because if you lose it.
You go lose it.
Yeah.
Now, how did you get into that? Like, was your father?
My dad.
Yeah, I was about to say.
And my dad, man. My dad got me into martial arts when I was 5.
Yeah.
And it's still part of my life right now. I said, hip-hop and martial arts balance my life.
That's a
crazy balance, too, because, like,
when one ain't,
martial arts is all discipline, like, literally all discipline.
When one not on, the other one off.
Yeah.
When one is on, the other one, like, they literally balance each other off, man. And I'm kind of excited because I got a new project that I plan on dropping in June.
Okay. Now, do you have children?
Yeah.
Do they practice martial arts?
My son used to wrestle in high school, but he got out of it his senior year. My son was the man at Centerline.
Yeah.
And his mom wound up getting a divorce from her husband.
Yeah.
So he decided he wanted to go back to River Rouge, with his mom. So he chose not to wrestle his final year in school. And that was around the time COVID was here anyway, so wasn't nobody really.
Yeah, it wasn't going to happen anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, but I had it set up to where if we didn't get no offers, I was going to send him down to American Top Team with my boy King Mo.
Yeah.
But you got to want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I could talk all day about what you need to do, but you got to want to.
Yeah, and then you got to let him make his own decision.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. Like, I want this for you, whatever yeah. you, and, but I got to also want what you want for yourself yeah. for you. You know what I'm saying?
It don't be about you after a certain age.
Right. Yeah,
you
know? Because they're coming into their
yeah,
own.
Yeah, because the things that, you know, I'm a person that's lived for my parents my entire life.
Okay.
Do you,
let's not say regrets, but do you have
absolutely.
Any?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we can use that word then.
Yeah.
So.
I'm literally my dad's child.
Yeah.
My dad
everything was, he wanted, huh?
My dad was a Marine. I was a Marine.
Okay.
My dad worked for the Sheriff's Department. I work for the Sheriff's Department.
Yeah.
Not doing that type of stuff anymore, but yeah. all I ever wanted to be was my old man.
Yeah. Did you have any siblings?
I got three sisters.
Okay, so nothing was delegated nowhere else. That's why I was at. Like, if you got three brothers, it's like, no, you be the Marine, you yeah. do this. Yeah, so yeah. you. So are you the oldest or the young? Where do you fall in on the spectrum?
I got an older sister, but in regards to my dad, we share different fathers. Yeah. We had the same mom.
Yeah.
So I am my dad's oldest, technically.
Yeah.
And I got two younger sisters yeah. up under.
Okay, so you a lot of responsibility like fell on you there.
Yeah. Well, amongst all of us, man, because my sister up under me is the one that keep us all
in line.
So, yeah.
She the enforcer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you
shout
said
out the toy.
You picked up the martial arts at 5. When did you pick up hip-hop?
Whew,
since you said they balanced you out.
Man, okay. So I'm old enough to remember when I was in a ride with my old man, and I think the message was on.
Yeah.
And back then, man, it's like, okay, I knew my dad was a cop.
Yeah.
But certain language I just didn't know. So it was a line where Melly Mel said something about the undercover, you know, the F word, forbidden word.
Yeah.
And my dad just was chuckling about it. He was laughing, like, undercover. I'm like, well, what's funny about that? And as I got older, I was like, damn, that's,
I get it now. Yeah.
But, man, for me, Origins, very beginning, the breaks, the message, Sugar Hill Gang.
Right. Yeah. But it was actually Leaders of the New School who changed your whole outlook on rap. Like, talk about Leaders of the New School, because people don't know, like, that's where Busta Rhymes is from. And, like,
wait.
Scenario.
How'd you know about that?
I read the bio, my dog. Like, quit playing with me, man. I was on your head about the bio. Like, what you mean? Like, I read it. Okay, like, so, you know what I'm saying?
So here's the thing. Okay, so I'm a huge Leaders of the New School fan.
Yeah.
Like, huge. I'm talking about I was listening to Leaders before people even knew
what
who Leaders
yeah.
were. I'm talking about I was a Charlie Brown fan before I was a Busta fan.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all kind of seen what happened as far as years later who wound up.
Yeah, because people didn't think Busta Rhymes was going to be the one.
Yeah. I
mean, they thought, like, yeah, that verse, he had the verse on that song. But
well, you talking about Scenario?
Yeah.
See, Scenario, I mean, that's a dope verse.
Yeah.
And people like to use that as the verse that you think
catapulted
him somewhere else, but Busta had way more stuff than that before Scenario.
Yeah.
I think it was the visual, man. I think it was the visual.
With the scenario, video, that was pretty dope. But he's like the first MC to really use visuals in a way to where it's like, yo, this dude is like super creative.
Yeah, the remix and the video.
So that was a time in life where we used to have maxi singles, cassette singles.
Yeah.
And, like, I worked at Musicland / Sam Goody, not because, you know, I wanted to work there to get bread, but I wanted to meet other artists.
Yeah.
There was a time in life where I didn't have to hear what record Busta was on. If I seen him on somebody's remix,
yeah,
I bought it. Strictly because I knew whatever. I didn't care about who else was on it.
You know, that was
I just knew bust out, what is he going to say next?
Yeah.
You know, it's either you have that energy, like, but, okay, so getting back to leaders. I'm super competitive when you're talking about being an MC. So back in the day, man, my boy House Shoes, I used to be in a crew called The Last Ones Out. We used to be at the hip-hop shop every day.
Yeah.
Mo Malone was a friend of ours.
Yeah.
And Mo used to bring people in every week. Like I seen The Wu before The Wu blew up.
Yeah.
I remember seeing Low Profile, WC and DJ Aladdin. This way before WC and Mad Circle.
Yeah.
Like, Mo used to bring everybody here before they were anybody. So I remember Leaders was coming out with a new album. And Buster, and Maurice had some new clothes that he was trying to promote, and he was bringing artists in. Man, we went up there and begged him to bring Leaders in.
Yeah.
And he wound up bringing Leaders in. We promoted the show like it was our show, like we were kids. To this day, I've never seen a show that will outdo a Leaders show, maybe a Buster show.
Yeah.
You know.
So the hip hop shop, so we had two cousins who rapped. My cousin Black, God bless the dead. And we from Inkster. So my cousin Dante, he rapped too, but he was in the like Leaders of the New School and stuff. And one day, man, he just came. First of all, he talked about it like it was
the Mecca.
Like the Bible.
Yeah. He was like, listen, man, I know y'all be rapping, because we was like 10, right? We was 10, 11 years old. And he like, listen. I'm thinking he went to a Black college and everything. Like, Dante was like that cousin, chewing on the stick, everything, right? So he like, look, next week, I'm coming. I'm going to take y'all to this place, man. Like, y'all going to look like they be battle rapping up there.
Yeah. And we looking like battle rap.
We like, what? Like, he talking to it. We like, we geek. He came back, bro. He took us to the hip-hop shop, bro. It was like nothing
we ever seen.
We were so young. See, we know now it's the hip-hop shop, but back then, he like, listen, he didn't even say what it was. You feel what I'm saying? He like, look, it's in Detroit. Just make sure y'all could go. You know, my mama, we like, can we go with Dante? He came, man. He took us up there, and it was just so dope. Because a lot of people hear about it as like an urban legend.
Absolutely.
Like, stepped in the building.
He like, look, we just going to go.
And watch.
All we going to do is watch. You feel what I'm saying? He's like, because we was into some West Coast gangster rap.
And
you feel
Eshan.
What I'm saying? And Eshan. That's it. West Coast gangster rap
and Eshan.
So he like, listen.
It ain't
I just
that.
Want y'all to watch. He said, because he used to be like, you just got to open your mind. Hip hop and rap is bigger than what you listen to. Man, we went there. It's like.
We see that was the first battle we ever seen. Yeah, I don't know who battled. We kids, so we don't know who battling. We just seen them battling.
Because it was a Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely.
You feel what I'm saying? Saturday, and we just watching, and it's like.
And then it turns out that this is the spot. Like, as we get older and we hear people talking, we like, yo, we actually got, because we was young rapping. So to actually even be able to walk in there and be like, oh, I've been to the hip-hop shop before. Like, you niggas never been to the hip-hop shop. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm
saying?
And
we don't rap like this.
I remember the shop. I remember when Mo bought it. And you go in and you're seeing a vacant place. And you're looking around like, yo, what is he going to do? We watched him take, like, magazine clippings and, like, album covers. And he put it on the floor. And then he took some... What do you call that when you are pouring something on the floor?
Like some adhesive?
Yeah, whatever it was, he poured like a gloss on top of it,
and
it wound up hardening. So when you walked
like
in,
some shellac or some shit?
It was like a hard like shellac, man. You walking on the ground, but you seeing hip-hop articles, albums. I mean, it was pretty
amazing. Was one of the walls yellow? I just feel like I remember seeing some yellow or some type of light color.
The wall was similar to this, but he used to have racks on them. Like, it was like almost like a New York style setup.
Boutique. That's what I'm saying. Like, I just never forget that. And then, like I said, it turned out it was the hip hop shop. And I'm like, man, listen. First of all, I ain't seen my cousin in probably 25 years. I never forget that day.
Oh, absolutely.
You feel what I'm saying? Like, I never forget that day.
That place, for us, like, I don't think it was a day that I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I don't think, Like,
I'm talking about not just the Saturdays. Like, that's one thing, but
it was really a boutique for real.
It was some religious like type stuff. Like my nigga Shine Proof, aka Rest in Peace. My man Hassan used to dance up there, man. My boy DJ Daz used to spin all day up there. These were people that we'd see every day, like. Every day, and nobody was thinking about like the future. This just was a thing that we loved to prescribe to everybody.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Nobody knew that it was gonna turn into that. No like, clue. Like it was just natural. You know what I'm saying? So after this leader show, you say I'm all
that,
in.
Look. So that's the show that changed my life. And that was the day that I wanted to become an MC.
Yeah.
I didn't know how I was going to do it, but that was the day that I said, you know what, I want to rhyme, and if I'm gonna rhyme, it gotta be on that level.
Yeah, right. I can't be playing around.
Yeah, it gotta be literally on that level. So, it took a couple years, man, for me to really find my niche. I think the one thing that happened in my life that changed everything for the better. I wound up getting shot in 96.
Yeah. Right. Now, let me ask you this before you go on with your story about being shot. What was the conversation like with your dad when you said, I'm about to rap?
Oh, so it turned out like this. My old man was like, you got dudes that they may have things that they want to do. And as young adults, you always got to have bread coming in because bills never stop.
Yeah.
So my dad was like, yo, if you go do this, have you a job to where, you know, you can put some money behind yourself and you're not struggling, because the one thing you need to know is bills don't ever stop. So what would I do? You want me to work loss prevention, or you want me to go over here, you know, so I can make some different type bread, yet still take that money and invest in the thing that I love? So, in 95, I wound up going to the department. I worked in registry. It was a cool gig, but like I said, all I ever wanted to do was work with my dad, or be like my dad.
Yeah.
I had 11 months on the job. I wound up going out on a date and consequently dropping my date off, wound up getting shot in the head.
How old were you at the time?
Let's see, that was 96. Bullet went in right here.
Yeah.
Came up right there.
Yeah.
So it's just randomly? Or
I would like to say just another violent day in Detroit.
Yeah. Okay, okay, yeah.
And you was how
old? Let me think. That's 96.
I'm saying like early teens, early 20s.
Well, he said he was working at the department, so
mid 20s.
Okay, so you had already been to the Marines and came back home?
Yeah. That day changed my life. But as far as what it was about, I don't know. I would like to say it's a random act of violence, because that's just Detroit. They never caught the individuals.
Yeah.
My friend got pistol whipped. I got shot in the head.
The person you was dropping off got pistol whipped?
Yeah. Don't know if it was any shady business there, but my department said that it wasn't. But
it seemed like it just was like it. Random.
Yeah. Which we know.
Well, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I got shot in the head, man. And like when you get shot, you don't necessarily know you shot.
Yeah.
Well, you know. Well, I take that back. You don't know. Well, at least my headshot is a little different. I knew something was wrong.
Yeah.
Because I kept falling on the ground. I kept getting up. And every time I would get up, face first, right back on the ground. So I fell on my face at least 6-7 times, man.
Trying to get up.
And then when I finally was able to kind of get up, all of a sudden I seen a lot of blood coming out the side of my head. And that's when I knew.
Something was wrong.
And then you see all the blood just coming out like a fountain. I almost went to a state of shock.
Yeah.
I wound up getting to somebody's door, identified myself, and that person was kind enough to take me in and drag me to his backyard out of harm's way. And I had a 7-8 car escort from Detroit, Harper Woods, and Grosse Pointe. They took me to St. John's.
Yeah.
And I can remember being in the little MRI tube with my old man and my brother-in-law. And I can remember seeing my story on the news because it was a breaking story because of where I work for.
Yeah.
Or who I work for. And that day, if that day didn't happen, who's to say that there will be a V Styles kind of we know it?
Yeah.
Right.
So now, did you have children or anything at this time? Okay.
Nah, I was a young person, thought I had the career that I wanted.
Yeah.
You know, at least at the time, I think I did that more so to please my parents than to please myself. Because I listened to what my old man said, yo, have a good job so you can do what you want to do.
Use that money for that.
Use that money, but you always got to have this fallback on. So I listened to my old man on that. And ain't no shame in working.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
But my experiences there, it just changed me. It changed me a lot.
But what would be the number one thing that it changed? Did you get more angry? Because I mean, especially if you think it's a random act of, and when I say you think it's a random act of violence, because this just happened. I don't have beef with nobody.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. That's the thing. I don't do that beef and stuff. That's what Corny said, man. Because if we gotta go, then
we might as well get it out the way.
Yeah, I'm a Taekwondo. You down, bro? Right, you can't.
Or wrestle.
Or
jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm about to spin kick this shit out of you.
That's why I asked, did that make you angry?
No, what it did was, okay, so my first day there, now, first 24 hours after this shit happened, I look like the fucking elephant man.
Yeah.
Two-faced, Batman.
Yeah.
This side is cool and this side is
swole up crazy.
On some other shit. I remember ho-ass Robert Ficano, who used to be the sheriff back then. But I remember being doped up on morphine. I'm trying to get the,
swelling down.
Swelling down and stuff. That's my nigga Mark the Spark. I remember them giving me morphine. Hey, yo, Spark, give me a couple minutes. I'll call you back. Remember them giving me morphine. I'm doped up, but I was coherent.
Yeah.
And I remember Ficano coming in with the press, holding my hand, talking about how much of a good officer that I was. Motherfucker ain't know me from Adam.
I seen that. I remember that. Yeah, I mean, I didn't know it was you, but I remember this was a huge story.
It was on the news.
Yeah, because they said, now that you saying this, let me make sure I got the right thing, right? Because they reported it you just was on a date trying to get your date home or something, and this happened. I remember this, bro,
because
I remember that. They plastered him in your room holding your hand everywhere. Yeah. I remember that, bro.
And, when the cameras left, it's he left. It was almost I was just collateral damage that he wanted to get a photo out for him. I thought that was the most corniest shit ever. That was the day, motherfuckers don't even really care about you, so from there, I seen my old man. My old man is James Evans, right?
A mean nigga.
Okay, my dad is a super nice guy. What I mean by that is certain things you never seen in James Evans.
You never seen no emotion.
Never seen no emotion, never seen him cry. My old man, when your parents love you.
Yeah.
My dad isn't the type of boy now he is, but back then, it wasn't hugs and kisses and nothing like that. You just knew by his actions that he loved his kids.
Yeah.
So it was the first time I woke up at night, the second day there, and I seen my old man with his head down. When he lifted his head up, a whole bunch of tears. And that was the first time in my life that, I knew my dad loved me.
But you felt it?
Oh my God, man. To this day, I still think about that shit, man.
That's dope.
And,
that's
and,
dope.
And that probably hurt me more so than the actual bullet.
Yeah.
You know, seeing my man, seeing my hero fucked up because he thought he was going to lose his son.
Yeah. Right, right. Now, how long did it take you to recover?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Okay. So I'm going to get to that. I'm going to get to that. So, it was just different for me, man, because I went into the woe is me,
yeah,
feeling sorry about myself or feeling sorry for myself. Really went through some shit. Like, people wanted me to talk to a psychologist or a doctor.
Did you lose any motor skills or like?
I'm gonna get to that.
Okay, okay.
I'm gonna get to it. People wanted me to talk to a doctor or a psychologist or somebody that could talk to me and I guess try to build me up. But my philosophy was, how are you gonna tell me how to correct myself if you've never been shot in the head?
Yeah.
Like, there is nothing that you can tell me that's gonna make me feel better if you haven't experienced it.
Yeah, one of my really good friends, he's still alive, but he got shot like 9 times. He got shot all in the neck and stuff. And that's what he said. He said everybody they was sitting to talk to him, he said his first question is, have you ever been shot? And he said if they say no, which everybody go say no, it's nothing we can talk about because you don't even
You can never feel my pain.
There's, like, when I look at my womb every morning, and most people don't even know unless I point it out to them, man. But it's just a constant reminder, like, yo, I know I'm not supposed to be here because everybody I know is either dead or a vegetable.
Yeah.
I lost a certain percentage on this side hearing-wise, mm-hmm, but nobody would ever know that because it made this side that much stronger.
Yeah.
Now, what that did for me was I was in a funk, like, really feeling down on myself. And instead of talking to a psych or somebody like that, man, I started writing.
Yeah, it brought it out you.
I started writing, bar here, bar there. Next thing you know, it was like, yo, I got a 16. I'm like, yo, I could do this shit.
Yeah.
So V-Style started on some therapy shit. On some therapy shit. Hip hop literally healed me.
Yeah.
And all I wanted to do was just get better. Like, to this day, all I care about when I'm writing or producing records, I just want to be better.
Yeah.
Better than the last record. Everything, like, is serious. And then, like, I always wanted to test myself against people that I respect.
Yeah.
So one thing led to another. I wind up, let's see. Like, that December, I was in a crew called The Last Ones Out. My boy, Lo Lewis,
Cardi boy.
Yeah.
We trying to get him on, man. You still
rhyming that? Lo Lewis really from Inkster too, though. Yeah.
Lo Lewis really from Inkster too. Yeah.
Raps in Inkster.
Lo was my teacher.
Yeah.
Lo, I remember when Lo. We called him Low Key back in the day.
Yeah.
He was Low Key before he was Low Lewis.
Yeah.
So in L.O., he was Low Key. But I used to watch in awe him battling people like Busta Rhymes. Lo used to judge contests that Eminem used to be.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's how respected Low Lewis is. I'm talking about, like, He's one of them unsung heroes for sure.
Like,
I tell him, go ahead.
I was about to say, when it comes to this Detroit rap, like, man, there's some unsung heroes out there. We wouldn't have a lot of people if it wasn't for people like that. Because what Detroit used to be on the rap scene, and what I mean by that is, like, that lyrical batch of rappers, and then what Detroit is presented as to the world, which is still actually very lyrical, very our style, but so many people run with it, they don't understand what it took to get here. You know what I mean? Because what I like to tell people is, yeah, we loved the Hot Boys when they came out, but when you went to New Orleans, everybody on the radio sounded like that. That just was the best of the best.
Yeah.
So that's what we was, for a long time, Detroit was finding it sound, and it was just so many people. It, I mean,
Lo used to be so, well, I ain't gonna say used to, he's still dope. Lo was so good that I was scared to put rhymes together. He'll tell you, I tell him this shit all the time, like, I was scared to rhyme, and I mean, because that motherfucker just was.
Yeah.
The bar was so high.
Yeah. Like so our crew, last one's out. Let's see. You got Lo Lewis. You got Jet Black. You got the Mighty Vagabond. You got my man Sanchi the Misfit. You got Pop Squally. Like you got
that name just
sound familiar.
You got well rounded MCs, and all they doing is sharpening each other's tools.
Right.
And when I'm looking at this, my boy, Mighty Vagabond, my boy Lorenzo used to be like, man, oh, you need to just write, man. And Lo Lewis was that good that my whole fear factor was like, man, I don't know if I could do this shit.
Yeah.
So it didn't really, like for me, the shooting is what triggered. Yeah. You know, because we was like I knew Lo way before my shooting.
Yeah.
But the shooting was the thing that
I better get this out.
Yeah. So you ended up signing with D-Boy Records early on.
Yeah.
But then after that, you transitioned into launching your own company.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about your company that when you left D-Boy Records, what was the name of the company you started? Rebel?
It's called name of my label was RSM Recordings. It's called Rebel Soul Movement.
Yeah. Man, you know what? It just clicked. Man, we used to see you at the Bullfrog like crazy.
Oh, absolutely.
The Bullfrog. Yeah.
When you just said that, I just remember like you had your backpack.
The Bullfrog.
I had a zillion shows at the Bullfrog, like we man. That was
at the Bullfrog like crazy for Origins and them, whatever.
Oh,
they
absolutely.
Did.
For
like,
sure. Yeah.
Origins in DC?
Yeah.
My guy.
Like, that's what I'm saying, man. Like, we done been there just to view, we done been there to rap, but we don't just like to be around. You feel what I'm saying? And that's how it was at the hip hop shop. So the Bullfrog was one of them places like, you ain't got to have a show. You know somebody doing something up there on Monday. Just go up there. And it's to see who coming with it. Who up next? Who got a bag of CDs? Bro, we buying everything.
That's real.
What I'm saying? Like, we trying to just see because we just love this shit. We love it. You feel what I'm saying?
And it's either you love it or you don't love it.
Yeah.
And it's a false pretense, too. Some people think they love it, but you really love what you think you could get from it.
Absolutely.
You don't love. And I say that to say because anybody working, putting their own money up, they love this shit.
Yep.
You have to, you know what I'm saying? But anybody looking for somebody else to put their money up, they love what they could get from this shit. You know what I'm saying?
And it's a big difference.
Yeah, and that's why I said the Bullfrog, because like I said, hey, what you got something up? No. Oh, I know it's a show at the Bullfrog.
Let's just go
up
there.
Even if it's somebody we know, we paying to get in, man, because we understand being at that door when it's our show. So we go, hey, you got love for me, then let me pay you to get in,
bro. My
man
Uncle P used to.
Uncle P, Uncle P, the first person who played one of our songs on the radio when he was doing the radio show, basically out the crib. I don't know where it was at. You feel what I'm saying? And that's, we from Inkster, bro. We ain't know him. That mean he heard it
and liked
the audience
just needed
might
to
like
hear
it. And needed to hear it.
Yeah, I love
so
Uncle P.
So anything he was doing, we up there. You feel what I'm saying?
Uncle P is like a huge ally, man. He's never not supported anything that I've done. And I'm thankful that
See, because that community, that it just was so, it was getting so strong. The Bullfrog closed and really hurt it. We had our last album release party because our last full length project we dropped was called Made in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And we had it at the Bullfrog. And it was like one of the best times of our lives.
Me and Govan had some great shows at the Bullfrog.
Yeah, man, that was it right there. I was sad to see it go.
Yeah.
That's just the long
and
the
short.
The
long and short is, it's just sad to see it go. You know what I'm saying?
It ain't nothing like looking for a parking spot on that tight ass street hoping you ain't got to park around that corner, right?
Yeah, because around that corner can get, you know what I'm saying?
You don't know what's going to happen.
Right. So in 2015, you dropped At Odds Till I'm Even, which is a dope ass title. You know what I'm saying? I was like, yo, that's a rapping ass nigga playing for coming. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
So talk about the process of that. So that was technically
that was my first solo project, man. But like I used to be in a group called Anomaly, and we were signed to Koch Sony. Our DJ was DJ TJ.
Yeah.
DJ TJ currently is the DJ for J Electronica. I think he spins for Royce.
Yeah.
But had a deal. Album never came out. I was on paperwork for maybe 3.5 years.
So let's talk about that briefly. So everybody rapping at one point wanted the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got to the deal.
Mm-hmm.
To most people, they think this is the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the real experience.
Creative freedom. Like when you got somebody spending their money on you, it's pretty much they calling the shots.
Yeah, make this kind of
stuff. My feelings was, well, the reason you signed us,
because we thought you liked us.
Well, I mean, the music that I made, you know, was the reason you signed me.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you want me making joints like, what's the dude's name? Right there.
Nelly?
No,
Chingy. Oh, Chingy.
Chingy. She was like, Chingy gets 1,500 spins a week. Y'all should make a... I had a female manager, and we want her label, which is already a conflict
of interest. Yeah.
But back then, you ain't really thinking about that because you're just trying to get your shit out. But... I'm like, yo, we ain't gave you no Chiggy type records.
Ever.
Like, so why would you want, I get what she was thinking, but as an artist, I know that's not.
You selling out when you do stuff like
well,
that.
It's not
selling out.
I don't think it's a sellout, but I do think when you intentionally try to make a radio song for the radio, it never works out.
Yeah.
Radio songs happen organically, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If you intentionally, like, listen to Detroit radio today, every song sounds the same. And that's because they think that artist that it worked for, it's going to work for them. So that ain't, at least for me, that's not what music is. Music is a feeling. And I like beats that the typical person may not like. Like, I'm completely different on how I think.
Because it's art.
Because it's art to me.
Yeah,
period.
It's art. It's,
no,
yeah.
I if I see this dude doing this over here, then I'm not doing that over there. I'm gonna do me 24/7. So we wind up having a lot of back and forth, and my manager wind up throwing me out the group. Thought she could replace me and replace my verses. And it didn't work out for Anomaly.
Yeah.
I knew it. I mean, you don't wish ill on anybody, but I knew it would fail because it wasn't their brainchild. It was literally my brainchild. So I was trying to figure out what I was going to do. It's where I'm like, yo, you know, I ain't never thought about putting a solo record out because I met a lot of people in the industry just through working at Music Land, Sam Goody, constantly politicking where everybody's at, especially if it's hip hop. Y'all know who Big Gov is?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
I've known Gov since that's who took me to D-Boy Records.
Okay.
Me and Gov, we met, you know.
Because Miles Dixon used to bet the house on Gov.
For sure.
Miles. What's Miles' name?
Doc Chill.
Doc's my man.
Yeah, yeah. He used to bet the house on Gov. He thought Gov was the best thing smoking.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. And I tell everybody this. I have never met a person as talented as Gov.
Yeah.
Production-wise, I'll pick him over a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I work with a lot of people. But I'll take Gov, because Gov knows me. He knows.
Like, see, that's what I was saying about working with producers on a record. Like, no, I don't care who just heard this. Just going to V Styles, because we working on something. This fit that, stuff like that.
So I was using a lot of my plugs to try to get Gov in a situation or get us in a situation.
Yeah.
Sometimes, man, things don't pan out, so you got to take the same energy and maybe use it for yourself.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. Like, when we discuss, like, what going forward, what for the next few years, I said, bro, we got to put everything into us. everything we got in the clip, let it go, put it out there, let the people decide. Anything we got is for us, because we've tried to do for other people. And sometimes people just don't respect that you putting your word on the line, or you putting your name on the line. I know my brother gonna respect that. He know I'm respect that. So I understand you 1,000%. And that's no shade to nobody else who you tried to help.
Absolutely.
It's just that I got to handle my situation with care now, bro.
So me and Gov, we stayed the course. And, you know, he's still doing his thing. I was doing my thing. And I wound up meeting Mr. Cheeks through Gov, because they did some work together. And, you know, we did some tours with Mr. Cheeks. But before At Odds Till I'm Even, the very first vinyl that I ever pressed up was a song that me and Mr. Cheeks have called Clap Your Hands.
Yeah.
Pressed up some clear vinyl. With that, if you know about these radio stations, a lot of these radio stations don't accept unsolicited music.
Right.
You know, you got to have a lawyer. So I had this book back in the day where every radio station took unsolicited music, and I would call them, and I would get the A-OK to send, and some people played my joints, and some people didn't. But when I put this record out, Japan wind up being one of the joint one radio in Japan. They wind up being one of my biggest supporters. And because of them spinning that record over there, it allowed me to get on video games. Like, yeah. I was on Anarchy Reign, the Sega produced Platinum Games.
Yeah, that's dope.
First big check I ever got was from a video game.
That's dope.
And it was all because I invested in myself. I pressed up my own vinyl.
Yeah.
And I distributed to who I wanted to. And somebody heard about it, like, yo, this. And it led to, you know, so when I got that check, I was like, yo, I can really do this.
Yeah, this for real.
It's a lot of unhappiness being a musician.
It be so many glimmers of hope.
If you feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you expecting overnight to just be this, then good for you. It happens for some people, but it's very small percentage that happened to. But that Cheeks record really helped me. So, you know, as I'm spinning my wheels in 2008-2009, I had this song that I did called Clash of the Titans. And my man Moss from Toronto, he's a producer, very, very well-rounded hip-hop producer. Like, Moss on work with Coogee Rap, Ghostface. Like, if y'all remember the well-known asshole Obie Trice single, Moss produced that.
Okay.
So me and Moss started working. He gave me this track. I called it Clash of the Titans. It featured Royce, rapper Big Pooh from Lil Brother, Elzai, and Fat Cat.
Yeah.
I wound up shooting a video for it, and that's kind of like when shit really started happening.
Yeah.
I never put that single out, but the video been out for a long time, man. It's just weird how all this shit happened organically. Put that record out. That record allowed me to work with a lot of prominent MCs.
Yeah.
Like, they seen that video or heard that record. It was like, yo, we need to do some work. I've known Bumpy Knuckles for about 24 years, since 2000.
Yeah.
Me and Bump got a lot of music together. But that was the record that Bun was like, yo, V, it's time.
Yeah.
Because of that, I've been able to, like, my payment has been different.
Yeah. Your payment sound like it's been satisfying to you as an MC to
absolutely
work with the MCs who you respect.
And
okay, but I got to ask, though, before we go past this, who had the best verse on that to you? Because you said some heavy hitters. You said, first of all, you said Royce,
Elzai,
Fat Cat. You feel what I'm saying?
See, here,
rapper Big.
Okay,
Pooh,
okay. Like, so here's the thing. People ask me about, like, because we go get into it. I get asked that question when I'm doing a record like that. First off, who is V Styles?
How he on here with these people?
I knew that people were going to listen to that record based who
was on that record and not me.
Yeah.
My job was to stay afloat.
Yeah.
And don't get washed on my own fucking record.
Yeah.
And I didn't get washed on my record. I can't say who I think has. We were all so different back then, man, but I can't answer that. I'm not gonna answer.
That's dope. That's dope. Yeah, that's dope. Yeah, yeah. So what you got going on currently?
Send us that video.
Yeah, send us that video. Text me that video. Yeah.
You feel me?
You got your stuff on you?
What? My phone? I got my
phone. Okay. Yeah,
that right now. Yeah, text me that video. Yeah.
Okay, so from that record, it allowed.
Talking to Mike.
From that record, it allowed pretty much everything that I got going on right now. It kind of opened up a door for me to work with the Pete Rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
The DJ Redmatics from the Beat Junkies.
Yeah.
Dilla. Yeah. Dilla was my friend.
Your real friend?
Yeah, Dilla was my friend, man.
That's dope, man.
House Shoes introduced me to Dilla, man. Like, before any of this stuff, man, like, we were friends way before this music shit.
Yeah. Yeah,
and the funny thing about Dilla, when Shoes turned me on to his music and introduced me, I was just so taken, like, why is this dude, why don't nobody know who this motherfucker is, man? This dude is just phenomenal. And when Dilla finally got on, it was like we celebrated that shit. Like we still celebrated
to this day. Yeah.
Because it was somebody that we knew who changed the entire landscape of hip hop.
Because I don't know. I mean, this is definitely acknowledged by people who know, but man, Kanye got his style from Dilla, that early style.
Look. If you listen to Kanye drums, who you think he got them drums?
I just said it.
Everybody,
yeah, if you know that. Like, if you can listen to it, like, but.
We know. Yeah. I don't want to be a negative Nancy, you know. But I think a lot of producers full of themselves. Yeah, I'm not saying Kanye is not dope. But I don't think he's the dopest dude. He's dope in his own right, but he ain't touching Dilla.
Oh, for sure.
Motherfucker still ain't touching Dilla to this day.
Right.
So it's only a few that I would even
put in that.
And you know what's wild though?
Pete because Rock, that was Knots. Pete Rock and Knots.
Yeah.
My man Bink.
Yeah, Binko.
Of course the Dre's. I like Primo.
Yeah.
But Dilla was doing stuff that people still trying to figure out right now.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. So
I can't wait to hear that Bodie and Dilla project. Like, that's, yeah.
You just imagine what it could have been.
Yeah.
Because of
the elevation.
Elevation. Because when you just doing stuff like that back then and people still trying to figure it out now, it's like, man.
Right, but just talk about what V-Styles is up to now before we get up out of here, man, because I know you got a lot of stuff going on. So what's going on currently?
Okay, so my last album was called Thornton Melon. And the premise of that was, I don't know if y'all remember this movie called Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield.
No.
Okay, so it's like an 80s movie where the premise of it is this dude's a self-made millionaire. He wound up dropping out of high school, but he became a self-made millionaire. Now his kid is going to school and he's struggling in school on a dive team and stuff like that. So
I do remember that.
Thornton Melon decided, you know what, I'm gonna go back to school, you know, to motivate my kid. So he went to college with his kid. Now he was the oldest freshman in college. But he was the livest freshman in college.
Yeah, he living his college drip.
So for my album, I called it Thornton Melon because I know I'm older, but I know the music that I have will smash a lot of motherfuckers' music, and there's no shame in that.
Yeah.
I'm real, when you talk about music, like, I be serious about that. Like, people could talk shit all day, but let's hit play. Let's hit play.
Right.
And I'm about to send you this right now. I think you're going to like this. as far as right now, okay, so the last album, Thornton Melon, I had Pete Rock on there, I had Knots. I did a joint. My second installment of Clash of the Titans was done with Coogi Rap Master Ace, OC, and Crooked Eye.
Y'all was in the studio for that, or?
Nah. We send each other's verses.
Okay.
What you about to ask about Coogi Rap?
Look, and that, I want Coogi on this album.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, we couldn't make it happen, but I think I'm going to do something on my next project with him.
Yeah.
But this album is called Buddy Revell. Like my albums have themes. So Buddy Revell, I don't know if you ever seen this movie called 3 o'clock High. Okay, so it's about this dude named Buddy Revell who coming to a new high school, he's like an urban legend. Like, Buddy don't fuck with nobody, but he'll fuck you up.
Yeah.
It's this kid named Mitchell who had to welcome him to the high school.
Yeah.
So Mitchell, they made Mitchell, they said, hey, man, well, you go bring in the new guy in the school, and we want you to write a paper on him. So Everybody knew Buddy's rep, so he was scared. So he ran into Buddy Revell in the bathroom. And he see Buddy Revell at the urinal, and he basically goes up to Buddy and pisses Buddy off. So Buddy told him that he was going to whoop his ass at 3 o'clock. The whole premise of the movie is Mitchell trying to get out of that ass whooping at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
So the reason I call this Buddy Revell is because my music is just, it's hard as fuck, bro.
Yeah.
I got a Pete Rock remix on there. I did an ode to my city called Detropolis on my last album. So I got a Detropolis redo on there with Boog Brown, Guilty Simpson, Ty Ferris, and my man Fat Cat.
Ty Ferris cold.
Yeah, Ty.
Hey, all of them cold, but I think Ty Ferris cold.
Yeah, Ty super dope.
Yeah.
I got my last and my third installment of Clash called Wrath of the Titans on there, and it's with Sky Zoo, Shabam Sadiq, Guilty, and Lil Fame from MOP.
Okay.
When you releasing this? When is it coming out?
It's coming out in June.
Oh, that's what's coming out in June. What's the date? June what?
I don't have a solid date in June, but it's coming. I'm telling you, it's coming in June because before I came here, I'm literally wrapping up my album right now.
Right, right.
I went to the studio to clean up a couple records. I might put another record on there next week, but I'm literally at the finish line, but it's coming out in June. But I got, man, bumpers on the album with production.
Yeah.
Knots gave me another record. I got a joint called Edgewater Park with Fat Father, Marv One, and Roast Spit.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. You be coming with them MCs on your shit.
Iron sharpens iron, man.
Hey, and then with Fat Father, I don't know him personally, but his journey from being Fat Father, that helped me just watching that. That helped me far a lot, man. I used to be like probably like 240 pounds, and I just start. You know what? You attract what you're supposed to have, and I just started seeing him. Now, he got off into the bodybuilding, right? But seeing him, and I was like, yo,
I'm gonna tell you
I could do it, bro.
I'm going to tell you a story. So I'm one of them fit dudes.
Yeah.
So I wound up changing my entire lifestyle, and I got down to like maybe 165, 170.
Yeah.
Then COVID came and fucked me up.
Yeah.
You know, I wound up gaining some of that weight back. But Fat Father used to tell me all the time, Orlando, man, well, I take that back. V, man, you motivated me, man. And to see where he's at now, like, I don't know about you, but my day don't start until I'm doing some type of workout. I try to run at least 3 miles a day.
Yeah.
You know.
Outside or in place on the treadmill?
It ain't warm enough outside yet.
So on the treadmill.
I live off the water, man, so I like running off the water.
Yeah.
But definitely treadmill. I do a lot of shoulder reps. And I do a lot of kettlebell exercises.
Yeah, you use a kettlebell, don't you?
Yeah, I got some kettlebells at the crib. Yeah, I've been going to the gym consistently for damn near a year. It'll actually be a year the second week of June, you know what I'm saying? And I
if I add up all the time that I missed in the last year, it's probably not even been 45 days. You know what I'm saying? I stay in there, and it really helped relax me, man, and it put me in a different mind state. And I normally try to go early as possible.
Absolutely.
I try to go early as possible.
Where you go? LA Fitness? Or
Planet Fitness. Planet? You know what I'm saying? Judgment Free Zone.
No, I'm not.
No, Judgment Free Zone.
That's what they call it.
Yeah, they the Judgment Free Zone. But they be judging you if you in that bitch.
But lift your weights, boy.
I'm
trying.
But yeah, they for the most part, they 24 hours. But you know what I'm saying? But like, I go to the gym before it's time to do everything I got to do to get my daughter up in the morning. And then throughout the day, like when I miss a day at the gym, I feel bad.
Feel horrible.
Yeah. Like,
and that you're supposed to feel like that.
Yeah. And then when I'm there, I'm like, I got to start tweaking and working on certain, like now that I'm in the constant go of it, now it's like, all right, now I can start working on this. Now I can start working on that. You know what I'm saying?
So let me show you something. So all week. Okay, so the green is when I'm closing my exercise bar. All week, I've closed my exercise out. Today,
yeah.
I took a break.
Yeah, and them breaks, man, you feel horrible, man. Like, I can't wait till, like, I went later than normal today, but I knew I was going to have a long day, so I wanted to start. And then it's Ramadan, so I've been going still during my fast and all of that, man. Like, I try not to miss a day, man. And then I'm like, I'm really proud of myself because, like I said, and like when it become a year, I'm 45, 50 days at the most. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then I got the kettlebells and stuff to work out at the crib with, man. You know what I'm saying? But before we get up out of here, man, where can people find you at? Social media and all of that, man.
V Styles, V-S-T-Y-L-E-Z on Instagram, on Twitter.
Yeah.
I still call it Twitter, but X.
It's X, man. You got to respect the X, man. You got to respect, you know what I'm saying?
I got a page on Facebook, a V Styles page on Facebook, or you can hit me up, my real name, Orlando Vesey.
Yeah.
V-E-S-E-Y. Shout out to Denmark Vesey.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I eat, breathe.
Who is Denmark Vesey?
Okay, so.
Give him a history lesson.
Oh, you know?
I'm familiar.
Okay,
yeah.
So Denmark Vesey was a slave. He was bought by this dude named John Vesey, Captain John Vesey. Denmark was taken to South Carolina. He was a carpenter. He was a minister. He could read. He could write. He was very powerful in that community back then. Well, I'm not going to say powerful, but he was a revered black man. Still was a slave. He still was a slave, but he was a revered black man. So Denmark wound up winning the lottery, and he bought his freedom along with other slaves' freedom in South Carolina. They spent a year's time trying to revolt against... Well, they were planning a slave revolt against all the slave masters. It went on for about a year. Somebody in Denmark's crew snitched him out, and he wound up getting hung. And because of that, the military academy known as the Citadel was created. Also, if you want to fast forward to, like, years later, you remember Dylan Roof?
Yeah.
The white kid that went and shot up the church?
Yeah.
That's the church that my grandfather founded. Denmark was my grandfather. He's my fifth grandfather.
Yeah.
That's dope. That's
yeah,
dope.
So,
very notable.
So when I was in school, every year the oldest VC would always tell about Denmark VC to the kids, to people, that's within the family. So every February, when we all were tasked to do somebody on black history.
You doing your fifth.
I did mine on Denmark Vesey. The weird shit is, back then it wasn't a lot of literature on Denmark Vesey. Like, we didn't have the internet back then. So you was lucky to find a book about him in the library. So I remember doing reports on him, and the teachers, like, basically lambasting me, saying,
where you get this information from?
Like I'm making up a fictional person because he has my last name.
Yeah.
So as years went on, it was like, damn, I was actually teaching the teachers because
they ain't know.
So fast forward all these years now, when I could see literature and shit about him. He got his own statue in South Carolina. Like, my family went down there, and Crescent did it. It's real. It's real shit, man.
Yeah, that's dope.
And Denmark is, what's my man name? 10 Years a Slave.
Damn, I know you talk about, but you talk about 12 Years a Slave.
Nate.
You talk about
12 Years a Slave.
You talk about Nat Turner.
Nat Turner.
That Denmark, Nate did. Yeah.
Denmark was 10 to 15 years before Nat Turner.
He was actually his inspiration.
I thought he
was his inspiration.
Right. If they want to find you, where they can find you at?
You can find me on Instagram and X at TCE Pod, and then or go to the YouTube. Man, we building up the subscribership. Man, the Connected Experience Podcast visuals. Man, become
so
a subscriber.
On Monday.
That's the new episodes.
On Wednesday, we release shit from the vault. The Esham episode is going crazy right now. You know what I'm saying? Because that's how you treat a legend. You know what I'm saying?
And then you can speak to that. Listen, man, like I said, man, we've been seeing you around. And it's just like, it's a pleasure to sit with you, man, because to still see people going, especially when we was on the grind, you was on the grind,
absolutely,
and you still going, man, and that's just beautiful, man, and we appreciate it.
If you got somebody you want to bring through or you want us to talk to,
when I leave here, I'm gonna shoot y'all, for sure, Lewis.
Put that together. We've been trying to get him, but I just
care about the culture.
The heritage. It's bigger than the culture.
I hear a lot of young people say, like, the OGs, you know, don't be giving it up. And it don't be that.
Yeah.
It don't be that. What I care about is quality.
Yeah.
I've turned down joints because I didn't feel like it was on my level.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, though.
And I'm not even an egomaniac, man. I love putting words together. I just love telling stories in my own way. When we get off, man, I'm gonna show y'all this new video.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So I'm Santwan.
I'm Antoine.
I want for my brother what I want for myself.